This is Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown. Like the anti-war movement that came out strongly across the country this weekend, opposition against an attack on Iraq is alive and growing in the state of Texas. From Pacifica Station KPFT in Houston, Renee Feltz brings us this report.
Cities throughout Texas participated in last weekend's international protest against an attack on Iraq. Hundreds marched in San Antonio, and almost 1,000 gathered for a demonstration at the state's capital. In Houston, the buildup to this weekend's anti-war movement grew with the inclusion of a diverse collection of self-described first-timers, or people who are coming out to protest against the war for the first time. Some of them got on a bus organized by a Houston Answer Coalition to attend Saturday's mass mobilization in the nation's capital. Milan Dresler is a 39-year-old writer who has seen herself as an email activist until this weekend.
It's been a quiet form of resistance up till now, but we can't be quiet anymore. It's time for all of us who have been supportive but silent to stand up and really make our presence felt. I think that's the only thing that's going to do anything in this country at this point. I'm going to really, really look forward to being with like-minded folk from, you know, just all walks of life. The thing that I've picked up on so far is that it's not just what we might tend to think of as the traditional crowd doing this. I mean, these are people of different political backgrounds, Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives. These are soccer moms and families and young people and older people, students and working people coming together on this issue. So I'm going to enjoy that. I'm really going to enjoy seeing us all together and feeling that and going forward from that and using that energy to create more peace.
Treasurer of the local Green Party, Josh Darr, says this is also his first bus trip out of state for a demonstration of this size.
I work as a union organizer, and we've got posters that say, I would rather die on my feet than live on my knees, and that's just the way I'm going to live. Basically, it's working folks that fight wars, and it's working folks that die in wars on either side. And we're basically pawns in an international chess match. And, you know, we've got to wake up and realize that, you know, it doesn't matter what your politics are. It doesn't matter what your race, your religion is. I mean, when you die, you're dead. And there's no sense in all of us killing each other so that a handful of rich people can get richer.
Two Navy veterans, Eric and Tony, were also on the bus.
So I have a Navy Expeditionary Medal for my prior service, and I think I'm exercising my right as an American. I mean, putting a flag on my antenna doesn't make me patriotic. I think standing up for what I believe is right makes me patriotic.
I was in the Navy also. I mean, if it was a just war, I'd fight for this country, but this is just not a just war. There's no way in just war. There's no way. It's just despicable.
On Houston's college campuses, many first-timers, from professors to freshmen, attended planning meetings of the newly formed Students United for Peace and geared up for a protest at the University of Houston. One of the organizers with the Pan-African student organization Sankofa, Rina Okuchu, attended the meeting.
We're taking a strong stance trying to educate young college students about how the war will affect them and trying to participate in all of the protests that are going on campus. Then we're also facilitating and hosting a dialogue that will help educate the rest of our counterparts on what's going on.
What's the topic of the dialogue?
War and what it's good for, who it benefits. Basically, what we try to do is we try to invite students to come in, bring a friend, so we can all educate one another and speak on views and maybe come away with a little understanding and insight to other people's viewpoints.
My name is Samira Zedi. I'm a member of the Shia Association of Muslim Students, and I'm also a weekly columnist for the Daily Cougar. And I've written a few columns about the war against Iraq and double standards practiced by the UN and the US and stuff like that. The good thing about it is that it's not just a Muslim issue or an Arab issue or a Middle Eastern issue. It's focusing on a lot of different students in a range of diversity, and that's what I think is important in pushing forward this anti-war thing.
Tapping into the accumulating anti-war energy in Houston, two young Muslim educators helped begin the Alliance for Peace and Justice. This Saturday, they held a rally with speakers and members from a variety of organizations in front of City Hall.
We have people in Washington, D.C. and San Francisco, which are holding the larger rallies. And a lot of us that couldn't make it over there are gathered over here today for that same cause.
Peace be upon you all. my dear friends. I start with, first of all, I introduce myself. I am Muhammad Nasser, the Imam of the Islamic Education Center. We have a large community, and I encourage my people to attend any rally along with our American fellows who are against the war.
An attorney for the Houston chapter of the American Muslim Council addressed the rally, which was held on the one-year anniversary for the signing of the USA Patriot Act.
That is what we are seeing in this nation today. People's civil rights are being trampled upon, and it's not just Muslims. And the Patriot Act applies to every one of us.
Dr. John Frederick read from his personal statement opposing U.S. violence against Iraq.
That a lot of Americans have maybe given up the idea of opposing the war, thinking that possibly it's too late. I'm sure that's what Bush and colleagues want us to think, that maybe now it's time to stop thinking critically and to support our troops. I say it's time to remember that the citizens of this country are the fourth branch of our government, and that we reserve the authority and the duty to rein in our government, the other branches of government, when they abuse their power.
That report by Renee Feltz of KPFT in Houston.
My sword and shield down by the riverside.
Hundreds of organizations across the country are mobilizing to stop the Bush administration from going to war against Iraq, and their strategies vary. Reem Kathuda from WPFW in Washington has more.
In Washington, D.C., grassroots radio organizations met to coordinate for maximum impact their various approaches to stopping the war on Iraq. Eric Gustafson, a Gulf War veteran and the founder of EPIC, the Education for Peace in Iraq Center, says to create a controversy and a discussion at a local level is one of the most effective ways.
Oftentimes you have local residents that don't feel as connected to an international issue. Looking at ways of making it more of a local issue, one of the ideas that is proving to be quite effective, Ithaca City Council and also the Santa Cruz County Supervisors and their own city council have passed resolutions against a war in Iraq, and looking to the District of Columbia as another opportunity to do that same kind of organizing. The advisory neighborhood commissions, the ANCs, around the district passing resolutions against a war, advising their city council member to take a position against the war, to see ward resolutions coming out against the war, and hopefully as we build that from the grassroots up, getting the D.C. City Council to adopt a resolution against a U.S. war in Iraq.
What do these resolutions do? It's ink on paper.
Well, what it does is it gets people talking about it. I mean, now it's not just a national issue. Now it's a local issue. Will your community adopt a resolution against the war? Federal policies or the federal government is about the consent of the world. And the more and more we deny that consent, whether on a local neighborhood level, like these advisory neighborhood commissions or wards or city councils, but also even student governments, unions, other democratic bodies, getting all of us to be passing resolutions against the war, even different non-governmental organizations that might be flexible to take a position, or teacher unions. The District of Columbia, being the nation's capital, we have kind of a unique opportunity because we show that while the occupying federal government might be really driven to launch a war against Iraq, the people of the District of Columbia are coming out and saying absolutely no. We're going into a campaign season. People should be putting yard signs. You know, we shouldn't just be campaigning for the candidates we want. We should be campaigning for the issues that we want. And one of the issues is no war in Iraq. Oftentimes when you bring these resolutions forward, they'll say, well, what does this have to do with our ward? What does it have to do with our city? It will cost money.
I'm Tom Gomez from MedEDC. a little group of activists that work on homelessness in the District of Columbia. It's important for people to remember, as all of the states collectively face a $43 billion shortfall in revenues, which is coming out of our schools, out of our public hospitals, out of the money necessary to meet human needs, that there's been an $80 billion increase in the defense budget, and that a policy of endless war is necessary to keep the United States from addressing the fact that 40% of its population earn only 5% of its national income, own only 1% of its assets, while the United States controls 52% of the world resources with 5% of the world population. So in order to, from having to address redistribution of wealth at home, the United States must maintain perpetual war abroad with its army in 144 countries and its air force in 78.
I'm John Judge, and I work with the Washington Peace Center. The problem is not just policy to policy, war to war, going out in the street and reacting to these things. We need to create a mechanism that's actually democratic, that would reflect the popular will in this country, and that we should open up the commonwealth of the media. It belongs to the people. It does not belong to the corporations. And we should stop making decisions about policy from local up to national levels through elected representatives, and we should create open debate and information flow on issues that are decided ahead of time by straw polls about what people think are important issues to decide month to month, implement a full debate, and have a referendum to decide them. And to put back in the other two R's of the three R's of democracy, you have referendum, you also have recall of politicians, and you have repeal of bad laws. And those should be the operating principles, along with decentralization of power, direct allocation of tax, and debate and democratic decision making. A movement for democracy is what's needed here and around the world, real democracy, not just a movement in response to each war as it's presented to us.
My name is Calamity, and I'm with thecriticalmoment.org, a website that tries to take a look at the statistical efforts that are being done by thousands of organizations right now. It allows us to add up our numbers and to analyze how our momentum is building as the critical days unfold. Our efforts to stop this war now is going to be more powerful than what we can ever do once the war starts. If we don't believe that we can stop this, we won't. And we have a very short amount of time. So the first projects we're doing is counting everybody that's showing up in these protests. So we counted the people organizing in hundreds of cities on September 28th, October 6th. People can send us those numbers and watch these charts actually rise.
Another strategy was to build a movement starting by gigantic national rallies in Washington, D.C. and San Francisco. Local activists in Washington, D.C. led feeder marches, which came through the working class and Latino neighborhoods, activating them and attracting them to the big rally on Constitution Gardens. One such feeder used irony, as reported by Jenka from the IMC D.C.
Let's start a new culture!
With website TomPaine.com accusing appointed President Bush of plagiarizing George Orwell's dystopia novel 1984 with his foreign and domestic policy, with the major media, several of which are owned by weapons manufacturers, virtually ignoring this weekend's protest in Washington, and with the U.S. having installed military personnel in over 800 bases worldwide and no foreign bases on American soil, the absurdity of Bush's push for war seems readily apparent. At least it was to one group of protesters at Saturday's march in Washington, a group calling itself the Absurdist Contingent and consisting of radical cheerleaders, the Students for an Undemocratic Society, whose rallying cry was "All hail the idiot boy king," and the venerable New Yorker Reverend Billy and the Church of Stop Shopping.
I read somewhere that George Washington owned 111 slaves at the age of 10. I'm ready for nothing to make sense. Hallelujah, praise be.
There were also radical cheerleaders, whose aim is to challenge the gender paradigms of mainstream culture while leading the crowd in radical chants and cheers.
Squad set!
You bet!
George!
George!
Dub, 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 dub. The shrub. He says the war on terror will make the world fair.
Cause I'm a terrorist and you're a terrorist and he's a terrorist and she's a terrorist. It's terror!
Ah!
It's terror!
Ah!
But what is terror anyway? Nuclear destruction, genetically modified food, the IMF, the World Bank, it's all bad news. Resist! resist. Raise up your fist. Resist, resist. We know you are pissed. Resist, resist. Fight capitalists.
The absurdist contingent held signs that included "Ignorance is strength," included Cheney, the quarterback who tossed a missile football toward the bloody Lady Liberty, as well as the Stop Shopping Choir, a huge turtle teamster, and others. This is Jenka of the Independent Media Center in Washington for Pacifica's Peace Watch.
Finally, the follow-up to the march strategy came from the Answer Rally podium.
Brian Becker, co-director of the International Action Center and a member of the steering committee of the Answer Coalition.
If you're at home, go now and register. www.votenowar.org. Let the powers that be know that the people will fight back. They'll fight back in the referendum. And we'll fight back in the streets, just as we've always done.
For Pacifica's Peace Watch, reporting from WPFW in Washington, D.C., I'm Reem Katkhuda.
It was said often throughout the rally on Saturday that it's important that people who are well known for their talents have the conscience and the courage to speak out against the war. Patti Smith is such a courageous artist and activist.
We're going to do a little song that was inspired in 1986 by Jesse Jackson. I heard Jesse Jackson speak, and these words were written. And now God has smiled upon us and brought us all together. This song was written for all of you, for the individual and to us, all the people united that we and
Rocker
we hope
Patti Smith.
That we will all use our voice. Use your voice. Together.
Patti Smith. We'll be right back with longtime peace activist Father Daniel Berrigan. Jesuit priest Father Daniel Berrigan was one of the most prominent members of the religious community to oppose the war in Vietnam. In 1968, he was arrested with eight others for burning hundreds of draft files in Catonsville, Maryland. Throughout his life, he has spent years in prison for various actions of civil disobedience. But beyond his activism, Daniel Berrigan is also a renowned poet and author. We spoke with him earlier this week and asked him to share some of his recent thoughts about the push for war with Iraq.
I have a feeling that the politicians are betraying us again, right to the top, and that they're keeping one eye on the elections coming up, and so they're not in touch with their own people.
Hmm. Has this inspired you poetically?
Well, I'm not sure I can use as big a word as inspired, but I've written a couple of poems. One of them is called After, A-F-T-E-R. When the towers fell, a conundrum. Shall these from eternity inherit the earth, all debts amortized? Gravity was ungracious. A lateral blow abetted and made an end. They fell like Lucifer, star of morning, our star attraction, our access. Nevertheless, a conundrum. Did God approve? Did they prosper us? The towers fell, money amortized in pockets emptied once for all. Why did they fall? What law violated? Did Mammon mortise the money that raised them on high? Mammon anchoring the towers in clouds, highbrow neighbors of gated heaven and God? Fallen is Babylon the Great. They see the smoke arise as she burns. We made pilgrimage there. Confusion of tongues, some cried vengeance, others paced slow, pondering, while this or that of humans was drawn forth and dismembered, pondering a last day, Babylon remembered.
Well, Father Dan, you really take your positions quite seriously. You gained national attention for destroying draft registration files in Catonsville, Maryland, back in the late 60s, and you were ultimately sentenced to prison. And, of course, you were paroled in 1972.
Uh-huh.
You've traveled throughout the world. To those who are protesting the war today, any advice?
I think the best advice that people of my generation can give young people is by way of example, you know. And I invite the students down to our vigil. I invite them to march with us. I invite them to talk about getting arrested with us if they're so inclined, and why I feel that way. And then I announce what I'm doing.
Father Dan, the Vietnam War, during the Vietnam War, there was obviously a draft in
uh-huh.
place. That is not the case today, but given your work around that issue, I'm wondering if you can sort of update us on, or if you have any thoughts about that as we go and as the country prepares to go into another war.
We're already getting evidence from the first Gulf War that this leaves wreckage not only behind it in the ecology through depleted uranium and other horrors, but it leaves wreckage in our own ranks. And I was reading some astonishing figures about health problems of those Americans who took part in the Desert War. Something like 25% of all those engaged are now experiencing all sorts of unknown and uncharted disconnected diseases that the officials are unwilling to look at. I bring all that up because, you know, war, there aren't any victors.
Jesuit priest Father Daniel Berrigan. Peace Watch was produced by Scott Gurian. Our engineer is Granger Helvey. We had production assistance from Josh Chaffin. I'm Verna Avery Brown. Thank you for listening.